Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
You were just kind of ranting as the music played out.
If people saw what went on in this room, well, they could actually. Yeah, they're watching.
They're watching.
It's entertaining as anything that's said in here.
I'll tell you one thing, and I mentioned this Friday, and Ed can vouch for me, Steve. This room we're in, this studio we're in, is tilted. The ground is not level.
Right.
Have you noticed this?
Well, Ed noticed it the other day when we got our new chairs in here.
Our new chairs.
And it just, in the last three or four days, Ed's rolling back. It's gotten.
I have to do this, pull myself back.
The last few days, it is, and I'm not, I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. In the last few days, it's gotten worse.
Yikes.
Yeah, and, well, you saw Ed rolling. Watch me. Watch this. Look at that.
Huh? You just keep going until you hit
that
wall.
You'll keep going if you didn't stop yourself.
I'm going to have to say that if I die in a sinkhole back here, I'm afraid my wife's going to have to sue.
how much life insurance do you have? We'll see how much.
What discourages me, what's interesting to me, is from where I'm sitting, it's leaning left, which doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to get our
crack team of engineers.
Well, I don't know who's going to handle that one. I don't think that's the janitor's problem. You, Ed?
No, I don't know how you'd fix
it. He would vacuum it. He's not going to be able to stop it from sinking into the ground.
The concrete is probably cracked underneath. It's probably.
I don't know what we're going to do about this. I'm just warning you, as Ed just did, that if we're mid-show here on AFR and you see Tim and Ed disappear from the Facebook Live coverage and we suddenly drop down, you will know. You will know what happened. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on AFR. I'm Tim with Ed. Walker Wildman is not here today because he is preparing to fill in for Brian Fisher on Focal Point at 105. So Brian's out today and Walker's filling in. So Walker has to study and prepare for Focal Point. Steve Jordahl is with us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, sir.
From American Family Radio News and OneNewsNow.com. Steve, what's happening in our world?
Let's start here. The Gulf Coast is getting preparing to get hit by the first hurricane of the season. It is now Hurricane Gordon. It just, in the last half hour or so, I think, was upgraded to a hurricane. Headed right for about Biloxi.
Steve, let me help you there.
Biloxi.
What did he say?
I said Biloxi.
Biloxi.
I said what they would say probably in Florida, in Denver.
Yeah, that's not like
trying to help him out.
Biloxi.
Keep our calls down.
So it's headed right there, and voluntary evacuation orders were issued as early as Monday, but it looks like by tonight, sometime this afternoon tonight.
Is that a hurricane?
It is now a hurricane.
Well, we have, you know what?
It's a category one, so it's the lowest. It's not going to be a Katrina.
Okay, well then you won't have a lot of evacuation with a Category 1 hurricane.
They could mandate some of them if they thought it necessary, but I haven't heard them doing it that yet.
They could, but we have a lot of listeners along the Gulf Coast there in Mississippi and Louisiana, so you know it will be impacting a lot of our listenership, our American Family Radio. But a Category 1, I'm not trying to downplay. Because, I mean, you could have flooding. That would be the main thing. Mm-hmm. Category 1, I think, is 70 mile-an-hour sustained winds.
70 or 75, somewhere around there, yes.
Yeah, still does some damage, mm-hmm. but nothing like a Category 4, for example, or like Camille was, which was a Category 5.
What they worry about with this strength of a hurricane is not necessarily.
You got a volcano moving toward the Gulf Coast, Steve?
That would be news, wouldn't it?
That would be fake news, Steve.
What they worry about is the water that comes with it, the flooding that could happen.
Yeah, right.
And that, by the way, long after the winds of the storm die down to just like a storm winds, the moisture is going to continue up through Louisiana and up into Arkansas.
That's what happened in Houston last year.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't the wind. It was that storm. It was a hurricane, right?
It was.
And it just sat on. It sat on top. It didn't go anywhere.
It just sat there for days, and it was a fairly strong one when it hit. I think.
Yeah.
This hurricane here is moving on. I mean, this
it
is
looks
very
like
fast.
So it's
very
fast.
You said it's going to make landfall tonight.
They're scheduled
saying that,
by
yeah.
sometime this afternoon or this evening.
Well, they won't be. I doubt there'll be any mandatory evacuations. You don't have time for it anyway. I mean, unless somebody wants to get in their car and drive 3 or 4 hours north of the coast, but I doubt.
Yeah.
These folks who live along the coast are well. You know,
it's like New Englanders
well,
and snowstorms.
Yeah,
you get big snowstorms and people go, okay, well, it may be a little bit worse than we experience every winter, but how much worse can it be? And
you know, I was amazed. Allison and I, my wife, we were in Newark, New Jersey, getting ready to go on our tour of the Holy Land last March, and we, you know, obviously pay a close attention to the weather because it affects your flight, and so we watched the Weather Channel. We had to fly in a day early to Newark to make sure we got there.
Right.
You know, because
you're hosting it.
Yeah. Obviously, when you're leading a tour to Israel, it's important that you be on that tour.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I mean, that's important.
You're going to tell all those people, hey, just go on without us. We'll catch up.
Yeah, if we're not there at the airport to meet you, just go on, you know, have a great time.
At a youth festival, you used to wear a hat that says, I must hurry and catch up with the others, for I am their leader.
But I was up, but my point is, and Ed lived what I'm about to describe, but as a lifelong Southerner who's never lived in the North, to watch what I saw was amazing. So we're at the airport hotel there, and it was a 10-inch snowstorm. And I've never seen snow come down that hard and that fast for about a few hours. And I'm telling you, middle of the snowstorm, these people are out with their equipment.
Yeah.
Both on the highways and all on parking lots. You know, the hotel had their own people out there.
Snow blowers.
Yeah, and then you had the city and the... But it didn't stop them.
Right.
If it stopped them at all, it stopped them for an hour maybe or two.
Right.
Or slowed things down. But I'm sitting there going, 10 inches of snow.
You thought it was over. Ball game kind of thing?
I thought, man, I just know if Mississippi, if Tupelo got 10 inches of snow, maybe they may never hear from us again. I don't know. I just know after 5 inches, the National Guard gets called out to impose martial law. You know, not that people are going to – well, you have some rednecks that go out, but you know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that a 10, 12-inch snow does not slow down people in the North – for very long.
Well, let me just throw a quick story in. I know our folks don't want to hear all this.
Why did I talk about that?
Well, do you want me to just tell this little story?
Hold on to that story
sure.
just a minute. But I'm worried about myself.
talking about the hurricane coming, and it's going to be water.
Okay,
okay,
here's the connection. We were talking about people who live on the Gulf Coast are used to tropical storms and hurricanes, so unless it gets to a Category 4 or 5, they're not going to be too worried about it.
Yeah.
Then we go over. Then I said what I said. Now we go to Ed.
All right,
go
I'll
ahead
make
with
this
story.
Quick. Just talking about how people in New England reacted to these kind of quickly dispensing with the snow. If we were having a projected big storm for nighttime and it was a school night
in New England,
when I was growing up, I would gamble in terms of doing my homework. And I, you know, the big storm's coming, but I knew that if the storm hit before midnight, I'd be dead because school would be on the next day because the plows would run all night long. My only hope is that the storm hit at 2 in the morning or 3. They couldn't get all the roads cleared in time. So I would gamble. I would just try to figure out when the storm was coming and whether or not I should do my homework because they were that proficient at clearing the roads.
Right, so you had to take the over under on midnight.
Yes, that's
right.
That's right. 2 hours in front before midnight, I'm in big trouble. 2 hours afterwards, I am going back to bed. After they say the school's
canceled. You know, if it started snowing at 10, he'd still have a couple hours. He could have stayed up and done his homework.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that. Pete, you get used to weather, and you work
I
around
can't
it.
Imagine moving from growing up in the North and then moving to the deep South and watching the way my people react to this. To snow, it must
I enjoy
be it. It must be humorous. It must
same
be humorous.
Thing from Colorado. Yeah,
yeah, I enjoy
all right,
it.
Go ahead, Steve.
Let me just, if I can, just briefly return to the Kavanaugh hearings. I wanted to give you a sense of what it sounds like in the room. I have two clips. The first clip I have is this is I'm going to hear New Jersey Democrat Cory Booker, whose the Democrat strategy is to say that they don't have enough documents. And they want to stop the hearing. And then you're going to hear Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley respond. And then you're going to hear some Code Pink ladies. This is cut four.
What are we trying to hide by not having the documents out front? What is with the rush? What are we hiding by not letting those documents come out? Sir, this committee is a violation of the values that we as a committee have striven for, transparency. We are rushing through this process in a way that is unnecessary.
But you spoke about my decency and you spoke about my decency and integrity, and I think you are taking advantage of my decency and integrity. So
that sounds like my lunchroom. You're in school, right?
You heard during Cory Booker's little monologue here the pounding of the gavel. Grassley was just sitting there impassively like it was just routine. You know, just
I thought somebody doing some construction work there.
He was trying to pound the gavel down.
These men and women in the Senate, they have been through this so many times. This is all formality. So he's in a formal way pounding the gavel because Cory Booker's going over his time a lot.
That was the
interruption?
Very beginning.
Okay.
That was very beginning.
Was he talking to, when he was talking about these documents, was he talking to Grassley or Kavanaugh?
Grassley. Kavanaugh was just sitting there watching.
If I were Grassley, I would say, and how many documents do you need where it might change your vote, Senator?
Yeah.
You need 1,000? Would you like to read 10,000? We'll get you 10,000 documents.
Well, they've released 400,000 plus, haven't they?
Yeah, they said more than once during this hearing they've released more documents on Kavanaugh than they did in the last five Supreme Court confirmations combined.
What about say this? We'll release those documents when you release Hillary's emails.
former President Obama's college papers.
That's when we'll release it.
Yeah.
All right.
Not a lot of humor in this, but there was one I wanted to play. This is Utah Senator Orrin Hatch when interrupted by these protesters. Listen to this.
Judge Kavanaugh is one of the most distinguished judges. Mr. Chairman, I think we ought to have this loudmouth removed. I mean, we shouldn't have to put up with this kind of stuff. I hope she's not a law student.
As Orrin Hatch?
That's Orrin Hatch.
That's somebody who's yelling and they're waiting for the Capitol Police to come and
Code Pink made an appearance.
What is Code Pink?
Code Pink is they started during the Bush administration.
During the wars.
It was protesters against the war. They're uniquely women, all Democrats. They completely disappeared during Obama's tenure, even though the war had never stopped. They just so they say, and it's fake outrage. They say they're upset about the war. They say they're upset about Kavanaugh, but they're not. It's just,
so Kavanaugh is going to lead us into war?
No, they've changed morphed their mission to just oppose Republicans.
Oh, well, they
Code Pink was started by the mom of a soldier who had been killed in Iraq.
Cindy Sheehan, I think. Cindy
Maybe that's right.
And yeah,
he was either Afghanistan or Iraq. I don't know.
All right, they've changed their mission basically to just be whatever.
It's kind of like the Southern Poverty Law Center. Remember,
exactly.
They were against racism,
right.
And now they're against conservative.
It was just odd how they disappeared from the map completely during the Obama administration.
You're listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network, Tim with Ed, and we. Appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net if you'd like to. Comments@afr.net. And Steve Jordahl from American Family Radio News is in with us. Steve, go ahead.
The Times of London has obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request some records about changing room assaults in Britain. And this is what they found. The vast majority reported sexual assaults at public swimming pools in the UK and in unisex changing rooms are because they're unisex. Just under 90% of complaints regarding changing room sexual assaults, voyeurism, and harassment are about incidents in unisex facilities. Two-thirds of all sexual attacks at leisure centers and public swimming pools take place in unisex changing rooms.
And so this is a shocker. I am shocked that what we've been doing for hundreds of years, that is separating the sexes when it comes to using bathroom facilities where you get changed, I am shocked that because we are now letting them all do that together, boys and girls, men and women, that sexual assaults and voyeurism complaints have gone up.
And it's
tongue firmly in cheek.
And it's not that people all of a sudden decided to post, you know, be voyeurs or sexual assaulters. It's that those who are voyeurs and who want to commit sexual assault know exactly where to go.
In
the UK, it's to these places. Where would it be in the United States? Well, it might be Target.
Target. That's right.
They go there because they know it's easy prey. They've got
Tim, you say frequently that if you're going to be a progressive, you're going to be on the left, the secular left, you have to, how do you put it? You have to suspend your reality or
you
something?
You have to suspend, and common sense.
Yeah.
You have to deny reality and suspend common sense if you're going to subscribe to the logical place that these kinds of ideas lead you to.
Right. So I thought that was a fascinating story you mentioned in our story meeting this morning, because eventually facts are going to be an abrupt rebuke to some of these policies on the secular left.
You have to ask yourself when things like this come up, why have we had the sexes separated for, as Ed said, hundreds of years anyway, for public restroom facilities and changing areas? Because everybody recognizes that that's what people are comfortable with, and that's the safest way to go, and that the sexes want to be separated.
Right.
You know,
there's only so much I want to know about the woman that I'm sitting next to or swimming next to.
So when you try to say, well, no, we don't need that, you know, you have to say in the name of what, and most of the time it's in the name of 0.5% of people.
Right.
Right? You're changing the whole society. So a man who puts a dress on can find a place to go to the restroom.
It's actually 0.05.
Yeah. When that person, anyway, it would get me started.
Well, what did you say? What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
What did you think was going to happen? And frankly, what one of the things that we hear in response to this is, well, men just need to get their act together. It's men's. This is what women will say. It's men who have the problem if they're defending like Target's policy, and they're the ones who need to get control. And I'm saying, you know, you are denying reality if you think nothing bad is going to happen with these kinds of policies.
If that person who says that men need to what?
Well, they just need to get their act together and stop being predators.
But if that man self-identifies as a woman, then isn't that unfair to blame men?
It would, because you actually need to blame
the women. All right, duly noted.
That's a good point.
That's why I'm here. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve Jordahl.
Leave me a couple minutes at the end for something that I've got for you guys.
We certainly will, Steve.
But
just about there.
Actually, I'm going to put three in front of you. Tim, right. Why don't you go ahead and choose which one you want to talk about?
Boom. Let's see here, folks.
So read all three of those articles and then choose one.
I'll go with that one.
Okay. Well, it might not surprise anybody that our president was on Twitter over the weekend and the holiday weekend, and he's taking on his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, again.
This is bizarre.
This time he is criticizing him because of the Justice Department investigations into a couple of Republican congressmen, Duncan Hunter of California and Chris Collins of New York, who were indicted by a grand jury under the Justice Department for financial crimes with their campaign money. This is what President Trump tweeted out. Two long-running Obama-era investigations of two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Department, Justice Department. Two easy wins now in doubt because there's not enough time. Good job, Jeff.
Well, you know, I just don't think President Trump needs to be either fire Jeff Sessions, which he has the authority to do as president, right?
Right.
I mean, he's on the cabinet, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Or quit doing this, jabbing at him every week. In public.
Yeah.
If you want to have a disagreement with your attorney general,
right,
call him into your office.
He'll be fired after the midterms.
Yeah, I don't know what purpose it serves. I'm not saying Jeff Sessions is doing a great job that he needs on these, you know, especially, I mean, he is on some things that Sandy Rios could tell you about, the sanctuary cities and religious freedom and other things, but I just don't know. It seems to me rather odd that you would tweet about your own attorney general when you have the authority to fire him today.
Right.
Why wait till after the
Well, and we talked about in our earlier meeting, too, you are also going to discourage anyone else from taking the job.
Duly noted.
You know, you're going to have people who may be qualified and may be on your side on certain issues who are going, do I want to live in that meat grinder?
Yeah. Right.
Getting tweets.
I'm already going to be beat up by the left. Yeah. What if my boss turns on me publicly? Right. Anyway, go ahead.
Last story. Yes. I want to take you to Kuwait. A seafood market in Kuwait was reportedly closed after it was discovered that staff had been putting plastic googly eyes on fish to make them appear fresher than they actually were. And we have pictures, which we'll try to get posted on the Facebook page.
That is funny.
So you got these. Where is this, Kuwait?
It's in Kuwait.
So you got a company that sells fish,
yep,
a business that sells fresh
dead fish. And they started gluing those little plastic googly eyes with the black
What I would like to see related to this is the job interview.
we will pay you minimum
next
wage.
My name's Johnny.
One
looking
teacher,
for a summer job.
One teacher in the United
I'm supposed
States.
To go back to school next month, but I would like to work here for the summer.
One teacher in the United States said, the first day of class tomorrow, and I'm ready for the, quote, the Middle East, question mark. Kuwait, where's that? And she's going to reply, the place where they put googly eyes on fishes, and the students are going to go, oh.
that's hilarious, because I guess if a fish has been sitting there long enough, its eyes start to close up
pupils get smaller. It just doesn't look as fresh.
But it seems to me that at some point,
anyway,
the people buying the fish are going to catch on.
But you've already got their money by that time, I think.
You would think, yeah.
You didn't get many repeat customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's funny.
I've always had a little bit of a problem at a fish looking at me.
Yeah, well.
A dead or alive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that really a big selling point to me?
Yeah.
That it can see me more clearly?
All right, thank you, Ed, for your contribution.
Yes, whatever it was.
Steve Jordahl, thank you.
My pleasure.
Brent Creeley has produced our show today. Walker, again, will be hosting for Brian this afternoon at 105, so pray for Walker. And we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a great day.